a lot of different names from a different time in this scripture. This scripture is not really preached on very often. I don't remember hearing anyone preach on it, at least not that I'm aware of. I may have heard it when I was younger. It's been a long time. But there's a reason I chose this today, the scripture for us today. And the reason is that I feel that God wants us to spend time this summer to reflect on and to appreciate the relationships that we have with one another. I think the thought that I had from God really is that, you know, you come to church and you speak to each other on a certain level, you know, and you know each other to a certain level and you recognize each other and things like that. But how can we grow more in our appreciation of what God has given to us in his church and the people in the lives around us? Now, I'm not saying that we don't do that. I do believe that we have a church where we do appreciate one another and we are open with our lives to share what is going on in our lives. That's one of the reasons I'm really so excited about our church, is because we have that kind of an understanding and we have that kind of relationship, you know. But I feel that God wants us to go deeper. And it's always good to do that, right? I mean, there's a certain level of understanding of what God is saying to us. But then he takes us and grows us even more. And he uses different means to do that. But this summer, I really feel that God wants us to enjoy this. We're surrounded with a beautiful green color that helps us to feel, you know, revived and to feel that, you know, you can imagine yourself a sheep in God's pasture and he's leading you to this green patch of grass and saying, I want you to eat of this really good grass for yourself. It's for you. You know, this is something that was really, and it comes off of a week last week where we were talking about how people are still caught up and feeling the after effects or the ongoingness of the pandemic. You know, and we may not, you know, be able to fully grasp that sometimes. You know, you're in the midst of something and you're thinking, okay, something is going on here and I feel a certain way. But what is that? And then, you know, someone may point it out. And I think that God was pointing it out to us last week, that there are people that are still going through those times. But then he comes in his typical way and he says, but I come to refresh you. I come to refresh you. We had that verse from Acts in the bulletin today, you know, for you to take a look at that. How does that come about? Well, it comes about a repentance of our sins, really, a turning to God. And, you know, we as Christians who are practiced in our Christianity need to understand that repentance is not a one-time deal. It's not like when you come to Christ and you say, now I'm, you know, I want to follow you, Jesus. I'm sorry for my sins. That is the start, but it's an ongoing thing. And there seems to be very evidently in the Bible a teaching that is an ongoing thing until we go to heaven. Right? It's an ongoing thing, but it's a work of God in us to make us more and more like Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thought? To be more like Jesus, to in that moment where you may do something in your old man or woman, and then you think, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do like Jesus did. And I'm going to live like he did. I'm going to speak like he did in that time. And I'm wise to the tricks of the devil and how he wants me to fall and falter in that kind of a way. And God says, I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to keep you going. Like a little child. I don't know if you've been around little children lately at all, but children fall down and you help them to their feet. And then they go on. It's beautiful. It's the way God has designed us, right? So let's take a look at this wonderful, beautiful, encouraging word here with all of these difficult names. but they're people, you know, these are people that were in Paul's life. And that's an amazing thing too. We have this picture of the society and the people that are in his circle of friends, of brothers and sisters, of co-workers, all different levels here, and he includes this in the letter there for us to be able to learn from. And I believe God has given us this today. So we don't have to like go through every single name, but let's just take a look at some of the main ones where he says a little bit more, just to get an idea of what we're talking about here. He says, I commend to you, I'm commending to you. I'm putting this person before you and introducing you. I even heard that actually Paul had to give Phoebe a letter to take with her to show that she was indeed representing him, you know, so that she was, it's like getting traveling papers, you know, as you're sent off to a different place, they may say, who are you, you know, and why are you here? And so she was really given this official kind of a introduction to the people that she was sent to, and she was really sent by Paul on his behalf. So I commend to you Phoebe, a servant of the church, and how did you pronounce that? Cenchrea? Cenchrea, I think, right? And so that you may, well, and that was near Corinth. Okay, so that was near the Corinthian church there, of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. So this is a very important person that he's sending. It's also going to come across all through this how important women are. You know, and Paul sometimes has this reputation of being very, you know, against women somehow, or he's pushing down on women. It's not the truth. You know, I mean, we see right here and all through this writing, there's like 9 women that are mentioned out of 24 or 26. I can't remember the exact number, but there's, you know, a third of the people there are women who he is mentioning and making a point of mentioning and sometimes bringing out. And he starts with Phoebe, and he sent her, you know, to these people to deliver these writings here. And so you may welcome her in the Lord, to welcome her, this person, she is one of the Christians, right? And to welcome her in the world, Lord, means take care of her, love her, watch after her needs, in a way worthy of the saints. Live up to your calling as a saint of God and take care of this person who's coming on my behalf in delivering this letter, right, these things to you. And so he goes on and says, help her in whatever she may need from you. I provide for all of her needs. Right, so this is also opening up and helping us to be able to see that we are to open our lives up to one another, not just in our church, but outside the church, but between churches, right? So that we are taking care of one another in that kind of a way. We tend to be kind of like, well, you know, I have a small place. They wouldn't like staying with me. Maybe they could stay somewhere else. They'd be happier. You know, those kind of things come into our minds when we think of taking care of someone or taking them into our homes, but they don't think that way. You know, that was a time when people opened their doors for people to come in and to stay with them. They had that. They didn't have the kind of, accommodations or that sense of it. They had accommodations, but it was really between people in the church that they took care of one another. And she was one that he really wanted to be taken care of by these people, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. And a patron means that she has supported them in some way, either spiritually or financially, right? So she has been a supporter of his mission work and has been doing these. So this is a really important person, you know. But there's a lot of people in churches like ours that are like that too. You believe that? I mean, there are. There's people in churches that have a calling like that. And so if we were to say, this person is going to be coming to visit you, take care. This is a really important person to us. She has been all in for serving God with her life. And we have seen that and we appreciate her, right? And so that's what God is saying. You know, he's reminding us of these things as our church, that we have that in mind about ourselves too. Not that we would boast in those things, but that we would appreciate people like that. And it's important to do that. We don't want to be quiet, right? We don't want it to be kind of like everybody knows that about that person, you know, or everybody knows, well, you know how I feel. Okay, you can feel that way if you want, but I think that what God is saying, he wants to take us deeper than that. You really know a person? What can you do to do that? What can you do to get that to know that person even more? Right? How can I pray for you? How can I help you in your life? How can I be there for you in some way? How can we grow together as brothers and sisters in that? So it starts off with this really important paragraph about her, Phoebe. So then, I bypassed, she was a servant of the church. Servant of the church is a very important title to have. How would you describe yourself? How do you want to be described? I think saying I'm a servant is the highest quality. I'm here to serve. I don't want a lot of people talking about me, but I want to serve. And then he goes on. He said, "Now greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Number one, risk their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well." That's important, right? So here's another introduction to a couple. There was a movie about Paul. I don't know if you saw it. It came out a number of years ago. I went to see it with Victor Chu. I always remember that. But it was a really good film. And I think that one of the greatest qualities of the film is that they introduced us to people like Prisca and Aquila. So you didn't just read about it, but you saw it on the screen and you saw these people and how they were affecting the lives of the other Christians. And in the film, what they were doing was that they were encouraging them not to be afraid of what was happening to them. They were being persecuted. They were being killed and they had to go into hiding at that time. And so that's the kind of a situation that was going on here. So Prisca and Aquila had an immense effect on people in encouraging them and having courage in a time when people were being killed for their faith. Right. I can tell, I know that you know this already, but there are people here in this church who have done those kind of things for us and are doing those things. Right? And it's important for us to be able to say it. You know, and Paul is writing it out and saying it. So we need to understand that there are people that are doing work for us, and we need to be aware of those things in the church as well. But he said, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus risk their necks for my life. So this is an important couple, right? That they helped him in some way, putting themselves in danger so that Paul could continue in his work for the mission field. God puts people like these people in our lives to help us to grow and be able to see that our faith is real, right? It's not just a matter of, you know, I'm going to church and I'm worshiping with people, but these people are actively pursuing their lives as Christians and looking for ways to further the kingdom of God in them. The biggest thing that comes to my mind as a correlation to this is my parents. Grow up and you feel like everything, you know, you deserve. You know, you break your phone, give me another phone, right? It's like, you know, things like that. You feel like, well, you know, it's my due. You know, I'm your kid and you're my parent and that's what parents do for me. And I'm sorry I broke it, but I need another one. Can you get me one? You know, things like that. So you're, as you go on in life, you learn lessons to realize that you are really blessed, you are, you know, given those kind of things, but it also has to develop into a deeper love and appreciation for your parents, not just for the things that they've given you. My father had to work 40 years, you know, to raise six kids, working it in his high school, doing art, and my attitude toward him was totally, you know, wrong most of the time, thinking, you know, thinking negative things about him when actually he was like slaving to try to raise, you know, to raise a family like we are. So you have to start with your own family sometimes to really understand what God is getting to with the family of God. What's your attitude towards your family members? What's your attitude towards those who are taking you to appointments or, you know, doing things for you and loving you and showing their love like that? It's a very hard lesson to learn, but it's an important one. And we also have to learn it in the church, right? You have to have that kind of an association that he was talking to people in his Christian circle and we have one here in our family, right? So they risk their necks to to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. So all these Gentiles who had learned about Jesus, right, were the benefactors of these two people being a part of their lives. So we have people in our church also who are giving of their time for different age groups and for our church, and we want to be appreciating their sacrifice for us as well. And then he says, greet also the church in their house. And so this was a time when they met in houses. I had a guy who was from the main church say to me, how's your church going? And I said, well, I never know what to say to people except that it's going well. But he was saying, some people started to do some house churches. Did you ever think about doing that? And I was thinking, okay, well, I didn't really, but it's possible, to branch out and to start, to expand and not just meet here at this address, but it's an interesting concept. But it came from this time. Read the church in their house. They opened up their house for it to start. We had a church in East Brunswick, New Jersey, and we didn't have a place to meet for our English congregation. So one of the guys said, come to my house. So we went to his house and we met there in his living room. We were all over the place, sitting on the steps and sitting in different places. He said, well, you can stay here and you can meet here until we have another place to go. And that's what we did. So you see, there are people like that. They learn from what God gives to them and they react to it and they say, well, I have this. You can move it. Take it. Read also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Isn't this cool? I mean, we meet the guy here in this reading here who was the first convert to Christ in Asia, this whole region. And he was pointed out in this kind of a way. Sometimes when we say things about people, we don't go far enough to say who they are. You know what I mean? So that you say, this is my fellow believer in Christ. But you can go a little bit further and say, and they're doing this for God's kingdom. Or they came to know Christ in this kind of way. You should hear their story. Expand what we're saying and add to what we're saying sometimes and not just leave it in one place, but then go a little bit further. So now what does that do? It introduces us to a name that we're not used to hearing, but an incredible person, right? My beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ. I don't know about you. I never heard Epaphroditus before, right? So who are the people that, are coming to Christ that we know? Who are the people in our lives that we're spending time with, And we could talk about those kind of things amongst ourselves too and introduce them in that way. Read Mary, who has worked hard for you. She has worked hard for you. Right? Read Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They're well known to the apostles and they were in Christ before me. These are two people. Junia is a woman, okay? And so they could be a couple. He calls them kinsmen, but what he's referring to probably there is that they were also Jewish, right? They're from the same Jewish family. It could have been relatives, but most probably they were also Jews. So they had that in common with him, and they were fellow prisoners. They were fellow prisoners for Christ. They suffered for their faith. These are things we need to take to heart. These people were put in prison for their faith, and they were well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. There's another thing that he brings in and says, that's how you can identify them. They were in Christ before I was. And this is a great man, right? This is a great man of God, Saul, Paul, who came to Christ in a very, very important way. And he wants them to be known. He wants them to be known what they are. Who are these people? You know what I'm saying? So it's like they were in Christ before me. This identifies who they are, most importantly. And if they were in Christ before him, then he could learn something from them or appreciate their lives in that kind of a way. They believed that they were missionaries. They were missionaries. They were people like Gladys, who we learned about going to China. They were missionaries who were going around together and spreading the gospel, and they were thrown into prison for it. And we get to meet them because of Paul, and he wants us to know who they are. He wants to share their special meaning to him and to us in this way. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved, and the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Some of these people are believed to be slaves. They were slave names, identified as such. So these people were slaves, right? And he was fellow Christians with them. Greet those, greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Perses, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. You know who Rufus is? It's believed that Rufus is the son of Simon of Cyrene, who carried the cross for Jesus. And look at his name here. There's no mention of that part, but that is part of his life. And Mark wrote about it. I mean, that is wild to me. Here we're meeting the son of someone. We always hear about Simon coming and carrying the cross for Jesus because he couldn't bear it. But now we meet his son, and he's saying, say hello to Rufus. You know, this is cool to be able to see how it grew out of that. There were people's lives here. It wasn't just some guy, you know, who has this kind of a story, you know, that he helped Jesus like that, but he had a family, and he had people in his family, and this person is continuing on in his belief in Jesus, right? So these kind of jewels come out from this kind of a letter that Paul is writing, right? And then he goes on, read Asicritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them, Philologus, Julia, Nereus and his sister and Olympus and all the saints who are with them, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. All of these people are being mentioned one after another. He goes on to talk and to mention people's names like that. It's so important that we mention people's names that we're going to church with in our lives, right? And to appreciate them and appreciate what God has given in each other. To grow in that this summer. And God is going to do that this summer, guys. He's going to grow us. And it's going to be exciting. We're not going to be the same as we are right now. Yeah. Amen. We're going to be closer to each other. We're going to appreciate one another. And we're going to be encouraging one another to share the gospel together. Because that's what they did. It wasn't just merely like a church group that met. They were the first Christians who stood up for what they believed in. And they had that kind of an effect on Paul, one of the greatest missionaries to ever live. But he had that kind of a relationship to them. And so there's this bond that they have. And there's two ways to look at this, right? First of all, diversity, right? We have diversity in our church. We have diverse, God brings all, he brought slaves together. He brought women together and put them into leadership positions at a time when it was unheard of. And he appreciated them and even sent a woman to represent him to the other church, right? Telling them about, take care of this woman. You can't understand what she has done for me, right? And all of these people from Gentiles to Jews all coming together. And you know what that spells? The kingdom of God. We live in the kingdom of God, right? And so we have to recognize that and embrace what God is giving to us here today. And so, you know, there's also unity, right? And what unifies them? It's Jesus. It's Jesus who unifies us, right? He brings us together. And there's a beautiful word used in the Bible to say he knits us together, you know? But I really feel like, I know my body is really, yearning to experience it even more. There's something that God is doing, you know, through his Holy Spirit, he comes into our lives with his greatness, his purity, his beauty and his strength and his plan for us, and his, you know, this will for us. And he comes in and he forms it. So when we go through this time in this summer, I want you to join with me to look at things in that way, to approach our church that way, to approach every time you come here, or that you're doing something outside the church, or you're, you know, in any way in your life, have that in mind, you know, that God is desiring for us to have that kind of a growth in us. Okay. So what would you say? You know, I mean, you've heard some of the things that I've been talking about. What is God saying to you right now? Let me hear from you. What is God saying to you when you hear those kind of things, that he wants to grow us, that he wants us to reflect on our relationships, you know, with him and with one another? Any thoughts? Anything that God is saying?
Steadfast love.
Steadfast love. Okay. I love it. Yeah. Steadfast.
Invite someone for lunch or a cup of coffee.
Okay. Be more patient. Okay.
Also be grateful for the people we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot more than just wondering why someone didn't come to church. You know what I mean? And there are things like that that happen, and I'm guilty of thinking that way because I'm, you know, the pastor. But there's something beyond that, you know, that I think that we have, that God is wanting to bring out from us. You know, there's, sure, it's good to be aware of who's coming and what's going on in that kind of a way. But what is another avenue? What is another, you know, thing that God is coming into our lives with, to encourage us and to help us, to grow in this way as a church? Anything else? You don't have to say anything. It's just a...
to really find out what's going on with your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that we start by just appreciating each other. You know, to take a look around and to slow down and not to feel rushed and not to feel, you know, like you have to say something right away or you have to, you know, just to take things in. But maybe we can, like, branch out a little bit and get to know someone we don't know so well. You know, I mean, I have a guy, there's a friend of mine who lives in Pennsylvania now. His name is Gerhard, and he was in the choir with me for many years. He was older, you know, he's older than I am. I would say he's probably in his, how old do you think Gerhard is? About 75? 80. Okay, so he's 80, but he knew me when I was born. Okay, it's that kind of a relationship, you know. Maybe not always, but you know, he knew me for a long time, and his wife, Esther, died suddenly. And so, you know, it was really a big blow, but she was a big, you know, part of our church. But I looked at Gerhard and Esther, you know, in this kind of a way. They were always there. He was the treasurer for years and years and years. She was working with the children in a very quiet way, but a meaningful way, and also been a part of the church serving as the secretary there. But you know, you, when someone dies like that, then you're even more aware of that person, and then you're drawn into their life, and you start to appreciate what they did. You should have heard what they said about her at her funeral. You know, I mean, there were people that I didn't even know, and there were things that I found out about her that I didn't know either. But I have to say to you that I kind of feel like I wish I did. You know what I mean? To be able to go to her and say, I really appreciate you. Not just wait for someone's memorial to say it, you know, or just to feel it, but to say it to the person while they're still with you. You know, and I think that that might be what God is saying, is that you're here for each other and with each other now. I want you to go a little bit deeper in showing to one another just how much you love one another. You know, even if it's just saying it, you know, to write somebody and just to put a few words down and saying, you know, I always admire this in you or something like that. You know, it doesn't have to be a lot. That is a lot, you know? And that's what I think Paul is opening up to us to show us. He opened up his life here to us. He showed us all these people in his life and how they had blessed him, you know, and who they were. And our church has a body, right? There is this body here, and we're all here right here in this room. And it's fabulous. It's, to me, it's one of the great joys in life. You know, to be among God's people, to see them and to, you know, and I think that God is teaching me that too, to appreciate the church people too, you know. And so I'm thinking in the same kind of a way. I have more to say to you about something else, but it kind of has to do with it, but it kind of doesn't. So I'm just going to leave it there. And we can sing a hymn together. But please, you know, pray about this. Pray with me that God will really move in our hearts and our spirits this summer to take us step by step into this closer relationship and appreciate him and appreciate his church and one another. And for those who are not here today, you know, for them to know that we talked about this, you know, and don't keep it to yourself, but see where God takes you in this walk together as we go through the summer. Should we sing a response song? Huh? Oh, yes. I forgot it wasn't the piano. Yeah, so the hymn came into my mind, Showers of Blessings. So if you open up your folders, it's not part of the other, it's separate. Like in the front, I think you'll find it. And I think that this really fits in with the theme that God is giving to us of green and blessing and loving one another more and more and having that kind of close relationship with him as well. Let's stand.